Welcome to Whitehall Works. I'm Jenna.
And I'm Zach.
And today we are going to talk to you about financing.
So when we say financing, there's a lot of different directions that we could have gone with this episode. But as economic development professionals, there's various ways that we could head with financing, depending on what type of organization you're part of or lead. From a local government side, our main focus is on helping businesses with finding the resources to help bridge financing gaps or assist in ventures where social and economic benefits outweigh the risk of that financing.
A lot of hustling. Yes. So today we're going to focus on how we assist businesses with finding the resources to bridge those financing gaps.
Yeah. So depending on the local government that you're the nonprofit, like I said, that you're in, there may be different programs to assist businesses in financing their gaps, whether it's low cost of borrowing or lowering the risk, other different investment programs. There's different places for loan packaging, direct lending or investment, and then providing technical assistance or economically targeted investments.
So yeah, when it comes to local financing assistance, it typically is used in conjunction with private sector funding.
Yeah, there aren't that many, especially on a local government side. You know, there really isn't a whole lot of financing tools that you see local governments, you know, small cities like Whitehall being able to participate
in. Like you might see like Franklin County has a revolving loan fund that uses the community development block grant funds or HUD money, other resources that might help the local governments fund
either
grants or bonds or whatever.
Yeah, and you've seen that in some cities. Whitehall did it maybe in the past where you have a very targeted approach, whether it's a Main Street facade renovation program. You see that in other communities where it's, you know, it's either a low or no interest loan to get improvements in a facade or, you know, small grants, but certainly nothing on the large scale that really helps close the gaps in financing.
Exactly. So some examples of, you know, private sector financing that a business would go for would be from like a lending institution for your debt financing, so a bank or a credit union to get a more traditional loan. And then there's also equity financing, you know, to get seed capital, venture capital, community development venture capital, something like that. You might be able to get more on the private side. And there are many reasons why businesses need their financing. It's not limited to just being a startup business and you need, you know, that capital for the brand new business, but you also might need, you know, more working capital for your normal operations.
Right. I mean, we've talked to a lot of businesses here recently that working capital and access to working capital is becoming a real crunch for them, given downturn in business or, you know, less, you know, in sales or whatnot. Where they're having a struggle with that access to working capital.
Right. And they might need, you know, for their fixed assets, like their building or their equipment. You know, if they're a new enterprise kind of in a distressed community, or maybe they're a minority firm or an unproven technology, those could be a challenge for someone who's a brand new enterprise. If your business is growing, you might need to ask for more money.
Well, we've had that with some businesses in the community where, you know, they've established themselves, they're at point A, but to take the next step to really be able to meet their growth goals, you know, they do need that influx of additional capital to make those investments or fixed assets. And we've seen that as a real challenge for them as well.
Right. Also, if you're a mature business, if you've been around a while and you kind of have stagnant or declining sales, you know, if you're not maybe you're not adapting to some of the current, or you can't afford to adapt to some of the current trends. Another thing that we are experiencing right now is, you know, a disruptive phase of business. I think that this discussion is rather timely with COVID-19. The pandemic, because business is not as usual and it has been disrupted.
Well, sure. I think we couldn't identify a single business or entity that hasn't been disrupted, you know, because of COVID-19.
Yep.
You know, there are certainly businesses that have adapted quicker than others, but every business has had to take, you know, that long, hard look in the mirror to figure out how they could, you know, be flexible, be nimble, be adaptable to the current situation.
Absolutely. And there are so many resources on financing through local, state, and federal programs, which honestly could be several other podcasts on individual programs. But as a small teaser for our upcoming guests, we'll be talking about a common loan program through the US SBA, So Small Business Administration. But more on that coming up.
No, so I do want to take a minute and kind of transition a little bit away from financing to kind of what a new program.
I would still consider this financing, just FYI.
Okay, well then, okay, I'd like to transition to another type of financing that the city, a program that the city recently launched. It is our Reboot Whitehall program, which is a micro grant program that we're rolling out. Our leadership recently appropriated $100,000 to be able to support Whitehall businesses up to $5,000 for related expenses. It's reimbursement, obviously, but for reimbursement expenses that they've incurred because of COVID-19 and the disruption in their businesses.
Yep. So that application will be coming out shortly. You can check it out on our website. And so visit whitehallmeansbusiness.com.
It's a great website. You'll be able to see the application on there, some really cool graphics about the program. And you know, we're just really excited that our leadership stepped forward to be able to provide these funds to help our small businesses. This is for businesses with 50 employees or less, and to be able to help offset, you know, rent or mortgage payments or purchase supplies they've had to purchase for businesses that are struggling in Whitehall during this pandemic.
Yep. So now we'd like to transition to talk to our guest here.
Special guest.
Yes, our very special guest, who happens to be my husband, and that's Kevin Gehring.
From the Ohio. I like it.
And he works for the Ohio Statewide Development Corporation. So as we kind of touched on a little bit before, many businesses can obtain a traditional loan from a bank or credit union, but they still have a financing gap and need for other resources. So OSDC is a small or is a partner that helps with small businesses fill that gap.
Let's welcome Kevin to the show.
Kevin G.
Welcome in, Kevin.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Happy to be here. Hello, Jenna.
Hello.
So good to see you.
Yes, so good to see you.
It's been such a long time.
Yes.
So, Kevin, tell us a little bit about the SBA and which programs your organization primarily works under.
Sure. So the SBA obviously stands for U.S. Small Business Administration, and it is a federal agency that has various programs to support small businesses. They help businesses get federal contracts. They have small business development centers, which offer consulting services essentially to businesses. They can help people with business plans and things of that nature. And then probably most notably is they have several loan programs, one of which is the SBA 504 loan program, which is the program that my organization administers. Ohio Statewide Development Corporation is a not-for-profit entity. We're what's called a certified development company. That means we have a license through the SBA provide financing under the SBA 504 loan program. So the way that program works is that we actually partner with a bank. The bank provides a first mortgage on a piece of real estate that a business wants to buy. Mm-hmm. Typically, they're going to finance 50% of the project. We come in as a second mortgage lender and finance 40% of the total purchase price or project. And then the borrower comes to the table with 10% equity.
Okay.
So it's really a private-public partnership between our not-for-profit and the private lender, be it a bank or a credit union. Advantages, reasons a business might want to use the program is they only have to put 10% down versus typically you're going to have to put 20% or more without SBA support. And then second, on the 504 program, once that 40% piece funds, it's a fixed rate for the life of the loan.
What is typically the rate of those?
When it's fixed. It tends to follow the U.S. Treasury market, which right now is at record low. So the people who have had their loans fund in the last, or the businesses that have had their loans fund in the last 6 months or so, they've been under 3%, fixed for 20 or 25 years. So I think that's one of the perceptions of SBA, and can be the case in some of the other loan programs, is that the rate's going to be higher than market rates. Hmm. But 504, I'd say, generally it's going to be below what the bank's rate is on the first mortgage.
Yeah, that sounds really competitive. I mean, that was my misconception, was that typically your SBA would be higher than what you could get conventionally. So that's interesting to hear that that's not the case.
Yeah, there's another program called the 7A loan program, which is more general purpose. It's not, you can use that for real estate, you can use that for working capital. It generally does, I mean, it depends on the lender, but that program generally does have a little bit of a higher rate.
Okay.
So, and it's not just for the business is benefit using this program with a low down payment, but the bank or the credit union or the first mortgage lender, really their main benefit is that they can lower their risk on the deal. Because at the end of the day, they know that they have a 50% first mortgage loan. So in the worst case scenario, the building goes into foreclosure. Mm-hmm. They know they have a good chance of getting repaid in full.
So outside of the low equity that a potential business or developer has to bring to the table, what are some other good fit for a business to utilize SBA?
Yeah, I think a lot of it ultimately does. One, you know, the long-term fixed rate for a business owner, it's nice to have that certainty. You know what your payment's going to be on that loan. It's not going to adjust in 5 years. A lot of the other reasons do tie into that low down payment. I mean, if you're buying a $2 million building or you're going to buy it for $1.5 million and rent, do 500 in renovations, you can all finance that in the 504. But the difference between 10% down and 20% down is $200,000. So to your comment about working capital earlier, they may have some other projects that they're planning on. Definitely relevant now. There, you might just say, hey, you know what? The economy is a little uncertain right now. I want to buy this building, but I really would rather keep some of my cash on hand. So I think it can also lower some risk for the business overall at the end of the day because they get to hold on to more of their,
no, that's a really good point.
And can you give us an example of maybe some projects that you've worked on and kind of tell us like what kind of share with us what kind of businesses are a good fit for this program?
Sure. So basic eligibility requirements, I'd say there's three big ones. Is one, you have to be a for-profit business. Not-for-profit businesses can't apply for SBA financing, at least under the 504 loan program. And you have to be a small business by the SBA's definition, which is very generous. That just means over your last 2 years of tax returns, you've averaged $5 million or less in profit, which, again, I think perception, SBA is only for your corner store, which it definitely can help. But, you know, that could be a pretty sizable business.
That $5 million, Kevin, is that net or gross?
That would be the after-tax,
okay.
You know, just the bottom line on the tax return for all the expenses and even okay. An allocation for federal taxes, $5 million or
okay.
less. And a tangible business net worth of less than $15
million. Okay.
So that can capture anything from a really small, you know, two-employee company up to a business that might have 100 employees or more.
Excellent.
And then as far as some projects we've done, I mean, we've touched almost any industry you can think of, but just some recent examples are we provided a loan to a company that does in-home and on-site at their facility day services for people with disabilities, intellectual disabilities, and they wanted to expand that on-site daycare program or day service program. And they needed to buy a bigger building to do that. So they, you know, they wanted to keep some cash on hand because they need to go out and hire additional employees and do all that. And the income stream they get is from the, you know, state board of DD. And it takes a while for that money to start coming in. So it was helpful for them to keep the extra 10%. So we helped them buy a bigger building. Another example is a company in a rural, in a county seat in a rural county in Ohio who bought an old building in the downtown of this community, did some extensive renovations to it, and moved from their existing location to this one. What they do is they're sort of outsourced customer service, phone customer service for various companies.
Hmm.
The cool thing about the project there was this was kind of a community that didn't have a lot of great job opportunities necessarily. They were planning on hiring a bunch of new employees. So that was, you know, a good thing for that community.
Yeah, right. And right in their downtown. I mean, that can
yeah, and it was a building that previously had been, I believe it was completely vacant, had been vacant for 2 years. So it kind of took something that was a bit of an eyesore and didn't have any productive use and turned it into something that, you know, was an employer hub, basically.
Yeah.
Other thing about that project is that the equity actually came from some grants at the state and local level. So there was no borrower cash into the deal.
Oh, so the equity doesn't necessarily, it could be outside financing or funding as well.
It can be. I mean, there's some parameters around that. I'd say 90% of the deals, it's the borrower coming up with cash, but there are other options there. And then last one I'll mention, just because it's the fun and exciting one, is we've done at least one startup brewery transaction. Startups are a little harder to get done.
Listen, breweries should always get funding.
I mean, well, that's what we said. We said, right, we don't need to see the business plan. Sounds good.
I thought
to
that
us.
Was actually in your tagline, Ohio Statewide Development Corporation. We support breweries. I mean, that's, I like it.
So that was a fun project, obviously. Something like that with a startup. I mean, you want to, takes a little bit of extra work to get comfortable, but there's a good team in place. And, you know, the bank was not going to approve the deal without us offsetting the risk. So
no, that's great. I mean, you kind of mentioned the extra paperwork. You know, I've heard that sometimes there can be a lot of paperwork entailed with these loans since it's a federal approval required. Is that true? Can you help me understand kind of like a small business walking through that?
Sure. So, I mean, I'd say in general, whether it's a bank loan or an SBA loan, they all involve a fair amount of paperwork. That's just sort of the nature of the business, unfortunately. But specific to the SBA, there's really only about three forms that they have to complete specific to the SBA 504 loan. And we help them do that. So it's really, I mean, the time burden for the borrower to complete application forms that are specific to our program is probably half an hour. At the end of the day, what my role is at the organization as a loan officer is to be the SBA expert and do a lot of behind-the-scenes paperwork that the borrower doesn't really need to worry about to kind of make sure all the boxes are checked. So that's really our role, is to try and minimize it being a big time burden for the borrower just because they're using this loan program. Can there be more? Are there some weird rules occasionally that come up that require some more work on everybody's part? Yes, but in general, if everybody's working together well, and it, you know, it really should be no different than a typical bank loan.
Excellent.
On to COVID-19. How has that affected the loan processes and the businesses that you work with? Have you seen any new trends?
Yeah, that's sort of the top thing on everybody's mind these days. I would say, so initially when the shutdown orders happen, so most of our business comes from banks. They'll call us up for the most part when they have a deal that they think is a good fit. We're working on trying to market more to businesses, but just sort of the nature of the industry is that the banks and the credit unions are sending us most of the deals. And I'd say that they were almost completely offline for about 2 months, not because they said we can't lend anybody money, but because they were working 24/7 on the Paycheck Protection Program loans.
Sure.
And kind of just dealing with their own situation as far as that's concerned. So there was a drop off in activity then. But once that ended, I mean, we've actually seen more applications from businesses than we were pre-COVID, which is interesting. I think our rates are really attractive right now, so that helps. People are looking to hang on to their money more, so that's probably sending more business our ways.
Yeah, but I got to think that that's a good sign for you, Kevin, that, you know, with the economy, that, you know, there are still businesses and startups and others that are still looking to take advantage of a loan to be able to make that investment or to make that purchase as we move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. It is encouraging. I think a lot of them are, you know, it's kind of a tough time to make a big investment for a lot of businesses, but I think a lot of them are looking to the future and they feel comfortable that they can get through this period. Every industry is so different too, and even individual business. So if you're a hotel, I think no matter what despite your best efforts, no matter what you're doing, you're going to be in for a rough time for a while. So there's, you know, probably not going to be a lot of hotel lending, I don't know, for, you know, another year.
Right.
But some businesses have kind of had their revenue streams almost uninterrupted. Some have been able to switch to more of a virtual model. I'm actually looking at a gym right now, kind of more of like a CrossFit style gym, but they were down during the lockdown period, obviously, because they couldn't,
right,
they couldn't open their doors to people, but they kept enough members through a virtual program. People came back afterwards, that I think your initial reaction would be, oh, there's no way we could give a loan to a gym considering everything that's going on. But, you know, it actually seems to make some sense. And they're in a situation too, this is kind of the stuff we deal with, is they're probably going to lose their existing building. There's another building down the street that would be perfect for them. So is the timing great? No, but we think they can get through it. And, you know, the bank wants to do it too, but they just need a little bit of help to kind of offset the risk. So
we'll include Kevin's contact information in our show notes for anybody who's interested in learning more about the SBA. I'm glad you said you were an SBA expert. That's part of the reason we had you on. So that's good. I'm glad it wasn't, I know nothing about this, but thanks for having me.
Uh-huh.
So we will include Kevin's information in our show notes for anybody who wants more information on the SBA 504 and the other SBA programs.
So yeah, thank you, Kevin, for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. This is a kind of a sad part of our podcast
today. Way to bring us down, Jenna.
I'm sorry, but let's kick it to the county one last time.
We can't kick it to the county. The county's not here.
But I want to make my sound effect.
All right, go ahead. There we go. Okay. So for those who have listened to our podcast before, this is normally the time in the show where we kick to the county. Unfortunately, our county folk, Alex Barris, am I allowed to say folk? Is that? All right, good. Just making sure. Has recently left the county and has taken a job with U.S. DOT because he's big time.
Yes.
So we do want to sadly wish him farewell and good luck in Washington,
Yes.
What a time to go to Washington.
But yes, we've enjoyed having Alex on our podcast, and we will miss him. But yeah, we know that he is off to a good gig. So good luck to Alex.
Good luck to Alex. And we still are going to encourage people to reach out to Michael Salvador through the phones. So
yes.
Please look back on our previous episodes to get his phone number. But please reach out to Michael Salvador and express your grief and Alex Barris leaving. So with that.
Or for your workforce needs. That's, or for yes, your, yes.
Or for his real job, yes. So with that, again, I want to thank Kevin for joining us today and telling us a little bit more about the SBA 504 program. And we're working on our next episode that'll be here soon.
And now, back to work.
Thanks for listening to Whitehall Works. This is a show hosted by the Economic Development Team, Zach and Jenna, at the City of Whitehall, a suburb of about 19,000 residents located in the Columbus, Ohio region. Economic development is a phrase you often hear, but the general public may not know what it means in practice. As a profession, economic development focuses on the well-being and quality of life in a local community, region, state, or country. Each episode will have a topic or a breakdown of efforts the City of Whitehall is working on to improve their community. But you are the community experts, and we want to hear from you. If you have any topics or questions for Zach and Jenna to talk about on the show, please email Whitehall Works Podcast in the subject line to economicdevelopment@whitehall-oh.us. Now back to work.